Let's open our Bibles together, please. We're opening in that great chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. We've been singing about the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ. Now we're going to read that Old Testament passage of God's Word and bring the message that God has laid in our hearts for this evening. Let's think of the words, Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out a soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Keep our Bibles open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this evening, and we are so conscious that when we come to this passage of thy precious word, we stand on hallowed ground. Realize that we're coming to a place uplifted high, Calvary, Calvary's cross. We thank thee for the man of sorrows, the one who is acquainted with our grief. We thank thee that thou dost not stand off from your people, but we thank thee that thou art with us. We thank thee the blessed Holy Spirit dwells within us. We thank thee that we have the abiding peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Bless us as we meditate upon thy word. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were thinking upon the fifth verse of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And what a verse it is, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. But I want to turn to another powerful gospel text in that passage. It's the next verse. Verse number 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In that verse of God's word, friend, there are two basic divisions. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And there we have the gravest position that the Spirit of God outlines for us. But thank God, in that same verse where the gravest position is given, thank God we have the gracious provision. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And before we finish, I want us not only to see the gravest position, the gracious provision, but I want us to think for a moment on the grandest possession. For it says there in verse number 11, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And so I want this evening to think on those three thoughts. First of all, let us think upon the gravest position. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. No sooner, my friend, have you entered the verse that you will notice very clearly the relevance of that verse to you and to me. It is, of course, true that man does not want to think about the depravity of their own heart. You see, that's what it's talking about, the gravest position. It is the depravity or the sinfulness of man's heart, what we have done. I think we know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn just for a moment, keep your hand in Isaiah, but turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. And of course, we always think about verse 16. And rightly so, it's a tremendous verse. But whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I want you to go to verse 19 and 20. This is the condemnation, says Christ, that light has come into this world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But look at verse 20. Why do they love darkness rather than light, friend? Verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, the Word of God, whenever it is faithfully expounded, whenever the gospel has been preached, friend, it has to expose the sinfulness of man's heart, the depravity of man's heart, and man does not want to come to the truth. And there are people who shut their minds and they shut their hearts because they don't want to hear the truth of God's Word. Sometimes, whenever they do hear, they do what is said. If you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 7, then. And it tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 7, it says, the world hateth, or cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. And you see, they hate the Lord Jesus Christ, because the sinlessness of Jesus Christ exposes the sinfulness of our hearts. And the Lord Jesus says, you know, the world doesn't really hate you. It's me they hate, because I testify of it. He bears witness to the sinfulness of man's heart. And he says, they hate because I testify that the works thereof are evil. When you tell a person the truth, And you tell it as God has given it in His word, friend. Let me tell you, there'll be those that hate the faithful gospel preaching because the Spirit of God convicts them. But it is my duty to preach the word. It is the responsibility of the Spirit of God to speak to hearts and convict of hearts. And so whenever we come to this verse, number 6 of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, we have a picture, a very vivid painting by the Spirit of God of the natural condition of man's heart. Listen to it carefully. All we like sheep have gone astray. Let me tell you, here's the picture of humanity. And the Spirit of God says, humanity, it's like a flock of sheep. It's like a flock of sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And what the Spirit of God does there, my friend, is this. It's as if the Spirit of God puts a wide-angle lens on the whole of humanity. And this is what the Spirit of God says. This is what God sees. We're like a flock of sheep. Humanity is like a flock of sheep that have gone astray. But then do you notice something happens? The Spirit of God not only puts the wide lens, then the Spirit of God zooms in. In the next statement, we have turned everyone. It's not the flock anymore. It's the individual. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Spirit of God, in other words, gives us a general statement of mankind. All we like sheep have gone astray. All of humanity has gone astray. But then we have the picture of the individual heart. We have turned everyone to his, not there, to his own way. And so therefore we have the Word of God, friend. We have the picture. Now what is the picture? It's the picture of sheep. And so the Spirit of God pictures humanity as a flock of sheep. Why do you say that a flock? You know, sheep's a very mild animal. Let me tell you, my friend, the Spirit of God is not picturing the sheep for their good qualities. Because whilst it's true that sheep are mild and sheep are timid, I want to tell you, sheep are stupid. They're dumb. They're foolish. And that's what the Spirit of God is saying. Listen, my friend, it is not we are like sheep that go into the pen. We are like sheep that go in, my friend, into the safety of the sheepfold. No, it says all we like sheep have gone astray. That's the picture. Humanity astray. You know, the people in Isaiah's day knew exactly what the prophet of God, under the inspiration of God, was saying concerning the foolishness of the sheep. To go astray is to be lost. To be lost. And friend, when a sheep goes astray, let me tell you, it can't find its way. You know, you could drop, I don't know of you, but I've seen people and have dropped a dog. The dog maybe has got away from them. But I'll tell you, they go back and they think that they'll never find it again. And you know, nearly before they're home, the dog's home. I'll tell you, drop off a sheep, you'll not find it home. Because it's dumb. It's foolish. Goes astray. And that's the picture of the Spirit of God, friend. Sinners are pictured by the Spirit of God as being absolutely foolish. It's the foolishness of the beast kind that has been talked here. It's their hopelessness. It's their helplessness. The Spirit of God says, they've gone astray. They've moved away.
from the safety of the pen or the fold. And let me tell you, that's the picture of the sinner. The sinner of himself will never find God. They've gone astray. You, dear man, in this meeting tonight, left to yourself, you will never find God. Because the Spirit of God has said, you're like the sheep that have gone astray. You're astray, you're lost. And all that the sheep does is wander. And all the sinner will do, my friend, is wander until finally they drop into hell. And they're lost eternally. An awful thing. And so the Spirit of God is showing the picture here of mankind wandering, astray, lost. Let me tell you, friend. And when that sheep that wanders astray, I'll tell you, it is so helpless. It'll not fight off a wild beast. If it falls on its back and rolls over on its back, friend, it can't get back onto its feet again. It's totally helpless. It needs the help of another. And the fierce beasts are all around it. It's vulnerable. It's an evil beast, friend. But listen, it is so dumb that it did not recognize the danger when it was going astray. Let me tell you, dear sinner, mankind went astray from their rightful shepherd. And they lost that intimate fellowship with God. Man is strayed from God. When I open the Bible tells me that when God made man, he made him in his own image. Let us make man in our own image. And when God made man, let me tell you, the truest delight of mankind when God made Adam and God gave him his partner Eve, or his wife, and brought his wife unto him. Let me tell you, my friend, they enjoyed the fellowship, that face-to-face communion with God. They loved the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It was sweet to them. But then Adam sinned. No longer was God's voice a delight to him. No longer did he enjoy fellowship with God, friend. But rather, when the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden of the cool of the day, the Bible says that Adam ran to hide himself. He tried to hide himself from God. Just thinking about it, you know, when God finished his creation and the final part of his creation, he made man. And up until that, listen, friend, until he had made man, as God looked upon his creation, God said day by day, at the end of each day, God says this, it's good. It's good. God was pleased with his creation. And then God made man. And when God had finished his creation and man was made and man had fellowship with God, friend, this is what God said. It's very good. It's very good. And when God made man, let me tell you, Adam was content with God's voice in the garden. In the cool of the day, until he sinned. Adam was content with the limitations that God placed upon him. For God said, of every tree thou eatest, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And let me tell you, Adam was content with the limitations that God had placed upon him until the serpent came and tempted Eve. And she gave unto her husband, and he did. Do you remember what the first commandment was? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And friend, let me tell you, Adam loved the Lord. It was the Lord only. And you know the commandment of God to love God, friend, it wasn't a burden to Adam. It was a delight. But then Adam turned away from God. Notice the willfulness here. It says, all we like sheep have turned astray or gone astray. There's the willfulness of man's action. We have turned every one to his own way. The sinner rejects God's way. He has turned away from it. And from that day, friend, from that moment that Adam sinned, Adam didn't run out after God and say, God, when the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden of the cool of the day, Adam didn't run to God and say, God, please forgive me, God. No, Adam ran from God. And he tried to hide himself from the face of God and his nakedness from God, friend. Do you know why? Romans chapter 3 says this, there is none that seeketh after God. Why, friend? Because we're like the sheep, the dumb sheep, the stupid sheep. We've gone astray. What does that mean? You see, when man went astray from God, he no longer, friend, accepted God's law as one that was to be obeyed. Man became a rebel. He was rebellious against the law of God. He was insubordinate to the commandment of God. He did not want God's command upon his life. He did not want to submit to the law of God upon his heart. See, when the shepherd went out before the sheep, he went before them and he led them out. And you see that? The shepherd's crook. The shepherd's crook would be a guide to lead them in the way. But all we like sheep have gone astray, friend. Do you know what happened? Man threw aside the way of God. Man cast it aside. And that's true of every sinner tonight. In a sin, he's a rebel against God. And when God said, thou shalt, man says, I won't. And when God says, thou shalt not, man says, I will. He's a rebel. And he doesn't seek after God, friend. And he doesn't realize the danger that he's in. He's gone astray. But it's deeper than that. Let's look at the next phrase. The lens zooms in. We have turned every one to his own way.
He is rejected. He has thrown off the way of God. He has cast aside the law of God, the commandment of God. He lives a rebel against God Almighty, the God who has given him breath, the God who has given him life. How does the Spirit of God say? Picture it.
We have turned. That's a deliberate act. We have turned everyone. Don't hide in the crowd, friend. The Holy Spirit of God is bringing you out alone, just you and God. We have turned every one to his own way. And that's how man's living, friend. That's the common denominator. Your own way. What does that mean? Keep your hand in Isaiah chapter 53. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians verse 15 it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." What's your own way? You're living to your own self. You're living to please self, and that's man's heart. Oh, he's going his own way. And that's why the sinner, let me tell you this, that's why the sinner can go on and it doesn't bother him. That's why the sinner can go on his way to hell and he can laugh on the way, friend. You know why? Because he's comfortable in his own way. He's in his comfort zone. He's living to himself. Judas Iscariot. The Word of God says he went to his own place. He went to hell. And friend, let me tell you, that's where your way will lead, sinner. That's where your way will lead. It will lead to your own place. It will lead to a Christless eternity. It will lead, my friend, to a lost eternity. Don't you think, my friend, just because you have got the comfort zone, you're living to yourself. Don't you think that God overlooks your sin? When God looked at the sin of Adam, friend, tell me, what did God do? Did God overlook Adam's sin? No. God drove him from the garden. God drove him from the garden. Do you remember in the day of Noah? Did God overlook the sin in the day of Noah, friend? No, let me tell you, my friend. God says, "I will destroy man." God sent a flood. And it took them, this is what the Holy Ghost says, it took them all away. Yes. God doesn't overlook sin. Don't you think that you will get by, that somehow that you will wipe God's eye, that somehow that God will miss your sin? What about Sodom? Did God overlook the sin of Sodom, friend? No. God brought Lot out of the city. He sent the angel in. And he nearly had to drag Lot out of that city, friend. Because Lot was quite comfortable sitting amidst the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what God says. He destroyed the cities of the plain. God didn't overlook it. What about the Jews? Did God overlook their sin? Let me tell you, my friend, God allowed the Jews to be brought into captivity 70 years. 70 long years. And down there in Babylon, the Judah mourned in the midst of all the pain and suffering of Babylon and all that it meant in its bondage. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And then in AD 70, let me tell you, God brought judgment upon it and the temple was destroyed and Jerusalem was plowed as a plowed field. And God brought judgment and they were scattered among the nations of the world. Let me tell you, God doesn't overlook your sin, friend. All we like sheep have gone astray. It matters to God. It matters to God. All we like sheep have gone astray. And by nature, men and women are living under the curse of sin. We have turned everyone, every one of us. We've turned everyone to his own way. But look very quickly, the gracious provision. I love this. And the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord. I see there the source. You know, when we talk about the desperate condition, we see man. When we see the dynamic cure, thank God we see God. And God steps in. And the Lord, who is he? Jehovah, the great I Am. God steps in. Isn't it amazing? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I'm the Lord. And you know, as I read that again, friend, I stood amazed in the midst of it. Because let me tell you this. The one offended is the one that steps in with good news for sinners. Because man in his sin has offended God, the God who made him. And you'll notice it's not man seeking after God. The first part of the verse is what man has done. We have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the second part of the verse, thank God, it tells us what God has done. There's the gracious provision. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. I want to tell you this, my friend. Man could do nothing to save himself. He couldn't lift a finger to aid himself. He cannot rescue or deliver himself from the pit of his sin in which he has been found. But praise God, the gospel of our Lord is a gospel that glorifies the grace of God. It's the gospel of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Adam sinned, and the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden of the cool of the day. God said this to Adam. He says, Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? And God finds Adam. Why? Because God seeks man. And then God made a great promise. He said, if you turn back to Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 13, praise God, whilst it's true there was judgment. But it says in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Praise God, there's the promise of the Savior. And right back there, when man sinned, oh, praise God, God provided a promise. God provided a way whereby the chains of Satan can be broken. You want a picture of the sinner's heart? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And it says there, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Verse 2, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And listen, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's the picture of man's heart. But praise God, it says this in verse 4. But God. But God. Oh, there's man's depravity. The desperate condition of man's heart. But thank God, the dynamic cure. Wonderful condescension of God himself. But God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. Praise his name. And the Lord. There's the source of the gracious provision. But my friend, I want you to notice quickly. I want you to notice not the source only. Notice the substance. This is important. Notice the next line. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? You see that word laid. Some translator says it means that God made to light on him. Friend, those are weak words. The word there is the Lord hath made fall on him. And the meaning there is to fall with force. The word laid on him, it means to strike violently on him. To strike violently on him. The Lord, that is God Jehovah, the Lord hath made to strike violently on him. Some people, you know, try and say, what the Lord just simply did was, he just sort of gently laid our sins on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the word means to strike violently. The Lord hath made or laid on him. Who's the him, friend? Who's the him? Verse number 1 of the chapter says, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse number 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, he was wounded. Who is he? Who is he? Who is he? If you find the answer of that, friend, you go back to the previous chapter. And you'll find out who he is. Look at verse 13 of chapter 52. It says this, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be high. He's Jehovah's servant. Who? You read the Gospels. And you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ humbled self. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 7 it says, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Who is he? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And the Lord hath made or laid on him to strike violently on him. What does that mean, friend? The Father struck his Son on account of our sin. The Father hit violently his own Son. That's why it says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised. That's no gentle laying. That's the Father striking. The Father who lift the sword of divine justice. His inflexible, unbending justice. And he plunged the sword of divine justice into the bosom of his Son. You say to me, preacher, what does God think of sin? Go to Calvary. Go to Golgotha. And there on Golgotha's hill, my sin The Lord hath laid or struck violently on him. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. Not a bit of wonder, friend. The hymn writer said, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ills for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed, now there's no load for me. Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God. There's not one stroke for me. Thy tears, thy blood beneath it flowed. Thy bruising healeth me. Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming blade must slake. Thy heart its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. We have, my friend, the gravest position. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Praise God, we have the grandest or the gracious provision. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He stood in my place. He died in my place. Let me tell you, my friend, when I think of Calvary, I think of the buffetings of Christ. I think of the cursing of the crowd. I think of the rejection of the religious leaders of that day. I can hear the multitude cry, away with him, away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us. But look at verse 10 of Isaiah 53. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And the Lord hath struck violently. Price was paid. Jesus paid it all. And here's my last thought. The grandest possession. But thank God, there is perfect satisfaction has been made for sin in the sufferings of Christ. Thank God, salvation has been procured for the sheep. In Christ, the sinner not only finds forgiveness, thank God he does, but notice the word in verse number 11. He shall save the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And the word there, justify, means to treat, to account, to regard, to declare, to pronounce righteous in the sight of God. My servant shall justify many. That's more than forgiveness. Thank God. Justification is not simply the forgiveness of sin. A criminal can be pardoned, but he can't be declared righteous. But thank God, Jesus not only pardons our sin, But because of the sacrifice that he made for the sinner, standing in the sinner's place, praise God, I stand just as if I never had sinned, because Christ came to accept the sinner's standing, and the sinner receives the Savior's standing. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me tell you, it's not an easy, cheap salvation, friend. I'm talking about the cost of salvation. Notice what it says. My servant, my righteous servant, shall justify many. My justification is brought about through the finished work of the cross. Simple thoughts. Sinner, acknowledge you're the sinner. Accept Christ as a Savior. And tonight turn from sin and place your faith and trust in Christ alone. Oh, may the Spirit of God turn you tonight to Jesus. He's the only Savior. And praise God, you and I can be saved. I am. Through the blood of Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him our substitute, the righteous servant. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And with his stripes, praise God, we're healed. May God give you grace to come to Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the power of the gospel of your dear Son. Thank you for the power of the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that when thou dost save a man and he stands complete in Christ, just as if he never had sinned, justified by faith in Christ alone. Upon a death I did not die, upon a life I did not live, another's life, another's death, I rest my whole eternity. And tonight, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that men and women and young people in this service will look away from their sin and by faith look to Calvary and look to Christ, the wonderful Savior, the only Savior of a soul. Oh, my God. Look to Jesus and live. Oh, that might be so tonight. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, the meeting's over in a moment. I beg you in God's name, don't leave tonight without Jesus. Come and speak to us. We'll gladly open the Word of God. I'll go to the minister's room. I'm going there to have the Word of God in my hand. I want you to come and join with me. And you say, well, I can't go through the front of the church. Go round the side, friend. Come in. And in Jesus' name, we'll show you God's road and God's way of salvation. We have turned everyone to his own way to lead to hell. But praise God, Jesus says, I am the way. Thank God he leads to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, bless your word tonight. Prosper it. For those that are listening in, help them to look away to Jesus, the one who died. But praise God, he's not on the cross. Thank God, divine justice was satisfied. Christ cried, it's finished. And praise God, he not only died, but he rose again. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Separate us with your blessing tonight. And bring souls to Jesus for Jesus' sake. Amen.